This is the Leftovers Podcast with Derek Kramer.
I'm going to say a stupid thing right now. Pudding. Where's my money?
Frank R. Curry.
I didn't say run through a wall. Do it again? Okay.
And Kyle Powell.
When the Sabres were actually in a playoff spot for the entire year.
On WGR550.com.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And Kyle Powell.
And guys, we did it. It's here. Training camp is finally here. And the Bills started practice today down at St. John Fisher College. And we did it. It's here. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. I am so happy that we finally get to talk about things about camp battles and football and games that actually can mean something.
Yay.
And soon enough, because people don't like preseason. And I'm okay with preseason because
we're going to complain about preseason being too long.
No, I'm not going to, actually. That's not going to be a thing you're ever really going to hear from me that often.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen.
Because I'm a dork.
Of course you are.
And I'm going to be like, hey, what kind of snaps are we going to get for the fifth cornerback position? That's going to happen to me. That fourth game, that's exactly what I'm going to do in that fourth game. Is going to be like, all right, let's see how these position battles are shaking out after the fourth game. Who helped themselves out? Blah, blah, and blah. They all did. So I decided to come up with a little bit of a challenge for each of us here on the Leftovers Podcast and do the extremely too early 53-man projections. Obviously, we'll see how these things are going after first cuts. We'll see how they go after the... Wait, there's only just one round of cuts now, isn't there?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm so used to the old way. With the two rounds of cuts.
Yeah.
But now you don't have to do that. But we will see what happens throughout preseason, see if guys get taken down early, and we will see how wrong we really are at projecting the 53-man roster. Who would like to start? Kyle's got paper. I've got a notebook. Frank's just got his phone.
I did all on my phone.
You millennial. We're all millennials.
Let the millennial go first.
All right, please.
Yes, let's get the phone guy to go first.
Let's start with the easy thing.
Okay.
The special teams.
Yes.
Are we assuming it's just going to be Hauschka, Bohorquez, and Ferguson as a long snapper?
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
But okay. If Corey Carter is healthy, he could put a punter competition in here.
Ooh, sure. The punter battles.
We could have a punter battle.
Ooh.
Because...
something to watch out for in that fourth preseason game.
Because Carter actually was doing pretty solid until he got hurt in the preseason. He was probably going to be the starting punter, and they never would have claimed Bohorquez off of New England's practice squad.
I think it's fair to go Bohorquez because they have at least last year to work off of with him.
Yes, and his injury wasn't nearly as serious.
If we're wrong, I won't be that mad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've got Bohorquez too, but I went ahead and said it on the podcast that we could have punter battle.
Do we want to start on defense?
Do you want to start on defense?
You guys have an opinion as well.
Frank.
Not right now.
Frank.
All right, fine. We're starting on defense.
You're starting it.
All right, fine. We're going to start on defense.
Start it.
Okay. Start in the secondary and go the safeties first.
Okay. Oh.
So, Hyde and Porter, or Poyer, obviously.
Hey, who's this Porter guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I also have Neal and Marlowe.
Over Coleman?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting. I went Coleman as well.
Yeah.
Instead of Neal.
Well, we'll say ours when we do them.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you can say them right now. Like, we could just go each position.
That's true.
Each go.
I know, but I feel
three lists would be pretty tedious.
It is, actually, isn't it?
It's a good idea. All right, Frank, you're the mediator. We will tell you how we feel.
Okay.
All right, so special teams, we all matched up the big three of Hauschka, Bohorquez, and Reed Ferguson, the long snapper. So, the safeties, which Frank did next, the only disagreement we have is that Frank has Marlowe in there over Kurt Coleman, a guy who has started games in this league and provides valuable special teams play. Marlowe does the same thing on the second half of it, but Coleman has that experience in case Hyde or Poyer goes down. He's the new Raphael Bush. That's why I kept him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cornerbacks next. Wait, you said you had the same ones, Kyle?
As me.
I had Coleman and Marlowe.
Oh, you had Coleman and Marlowe.
I did.
I have Saran Neal there. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Three disagreements. Two disagreements.
On the bottom of the roster already.
At least on the bottom, yeah.
Yeah. All difference, right. Not a disagreement. A difference.
Cornerbacks. I have five.
I have six.
I do as well.
You have
six.
Six.
All right. So I got, who are your five? So
Tre'Davious, obviously. Yep. Levi Wallace. I have Teron Johnson, Kevin Johnson, and EJ Gaines.
Okay. And then Kyle and I, as we were talking about this off air, had added Lafayette Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Ryan Lewis?
No.
No, I was thinking about Ryan Lewis.
You were thinking about Ryan Lewis. Yes. I had Cam Lewis in here.
I left okay. That all them off.
Okay.
I have five cornerbacks. Five cornerbacks.
Wait, so your six are?
Gaines, Teron Johnson, Levi Wallace, Trey White, Lafayette Pitts, and Cameron Lewis.
Hmm.
I have Kevin Johnson.
Hmm. I was up in the air on him.
I think he might actually take a starting job. Because I have it as the depth chart, White Johnson, Teron Johnson, EJ Gaines, Levi Wallace, Lafayette Pitts. I think Wallace becomes a depth corner this year.
Kevin Johnson was a Houston product?
Yes.
Correct?
First-round pick from Houston. Injuries were really his biggest problem. If he stays healthy, a la an EJ Gaines, he could have starting time.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can see it just as easily happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linebackers. We know the three starters.
I've got six.
I have six as well.
Me too.
All right. Who's the six? Well, we know the first three.
We know the first three. Tremaine Evans, Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander.
Yep.
My three. After that, Lacy,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Stanford, and Voshon Joseph.
All right.
I have Eli Harold over Stanford.
Okay.
Reasoning behind this? Harold can do some things pass rushing on the defensive line as well.
So he can play. He can do linebacker.
He can do linebacker and defensive end.
I was thinking
love
that
versatility.
Too.
The
versatility.
McDermott loves that. You know that.
I was thinking that too, but there's a reason I did leave him off. So for the defensive line,
this is where our difference lies. I have eight combined.
I have nine combined,
and that's where Eli Harold gets his spot.
Okay. How many do you have, Kyle? On the defensive line. Combine.
Nine.
So
I have eight, and I'm the difference here.
So there's an explanation.
Now, defensive tackle.
But there's a good explanation for it.
Now, defensive tackle, I think, is pretty slam dunk around here.
Yeah.
Oliver, Phillips, Lotulelei.
Yes.
Yep.
And then your defensive ends, honestly, I think they're kind of slam dunks. The four of them, Hughes, Murphy, Lawson, Yarbs.
I added Mike Love.
I was thinking Mike Love, but that's where I'm like, I have Eli Harold, and I think McDermott's going to use him up there.
I'm also wondering, too,
and what Lorenzo Alexander could also be used up there.
Yeah. I'm wondering what they're going to do with Shaq Lawson this year, though.
They're just going to play out the contract, I think.
Well, because I think we've talked about before of Lawson being able to move into the interior as well. I know you've mentioned that.
I've mentioned that sort of thing, like with passing down situations, but... With Ed Oliver there now, I don't think
might
not need to.
You can if you do. Like, if you do need to,
it'd be an interesting pass rushing package to have Hughes, Murphy, Lawson, and Oliver.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can go ahead and sub out one of those ends in Murphy and Lawson and throw Eli Harold or Lorenzo Alexander in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's why I kept the six linebackers, and that's why Eli Harold made my spot, is because I think that pass rushing wise, two of your better pass rushers actually are playing linebacker.
Okay. So, offensive line now.
I've got nine. We saw the five that started.
I have 10.
We saw the starting five, and the starting five was Dawkins, Quentin Spain, Mitch Morse, John Feliciano getting the first start at guard, Cody Ford mm-hmm. at right tackle. Now, they signed a bunch of guys.
They did.
And I know not all of them are going to make it because they just signed so many guys. Reason I kept nine, Spencer Long. Long can play center and guard. Ty Nsekhe can play guard and tackle. Mm-hmm. Ike Bocker can play center and guard. The versatility allows you to mess around with the roster spots a little bit. And that's where I've got nine. The other one that I kept was Adrian Waddle.
I kept him too. And then obviously Wyatt Teller.
I don't have Teller as an obvious.
I have him on as on here.
I don't think Wyatt Teller is as obvious as I thought he could be. And that's where the problem lies. The notables that you get cut from the offensive line would be last year's starter, Vlad Dukas, Russell Bodine, and Connor McDermott. Because none of those names have been mentioned by us.
Right.
But yeah.
A lot of rollover.
Yeah, a lot of rollover on that position, and honestly, I'm more welcoming for that.
How about the tight end spot?
Tight ends, I've got three in parentheses, four.
I have four.
I went three.
Now here's your thing. Is Tyler Kroft one of them?
Yes.
He starts out on IR. You can go ahead and cheat.
Yeah.
Snag an extra player somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
because that's
going...
what I did. Kroft is on here, but he doesn't count on my numbers yet.
I was going what the normal would be like without injuries. Taking injuries out of it.
Well, I went ahead and cheated on it because the Bills can.
Yeah, sure.
He's on the pup. He's going to start off half the season on injured reserve.
Yeah.
Probably. That's what's going to happen.
So was your fourth, was it Lee Smith or Tommy Sweeney?
I have Knox, Smith, and Sweeney. Jason Kroom, the one being shown the door.
Really?
I have Kroom.
He got the first snap today,
Smith.
Did he not?
I did not notice that.
I believe Kroom was the first tight end.
I have Kroom on mine and left Lee Smith out. But if with Kroft out, I would put Lee Smith in there.
I'd probably do the same. I had Kroft, Kroom, and Knox.
Yeah. I think what the thing is that all three of those players, though, Kyle, Kroft, Kroom, Knox, they're all good at catching passes. I don't think Jason Kroom is as good as a blocker presence. And that's where I think Tommy Sweeney ends up surprising people. Is that he could be a little more balanced in that sort of game.
You don't think he can grow into a role like that? Develop it?
No.
Kind of like Zach Ertz became a good blocker the last 2 years.
Yeah, I just...
I think it was good because he was learning from Brent Celek.
I could see it. It's just that I don't know if Kroom is anything special. So that's the other thing.
It's fair.
Could he develop into something? That'd be great. Am I banking on it? No.
Fair enough.
Now we get to one of the fun... We just had a nice discussion here with the tight ends and like a surprise there with me keeping Kroom off. We go to the receivers.
Yeah. I have five.
Six.
Six. I think they're going to end up keeping six.
Six and a half. I had a slash on my
but
six.
But now here's the question.
I cheated.
Well, I also went a little fun with this one, with like this combined with the running backs and the QBs.
Now here's the question. Who stays?
So I got Brown, Beasley, Zay Jones, Robert Foster. I got Duke Williams as my fifth.
Really?
He was my slash. Yeah, I had Ray Ray and Duke Williams.
Okay.
Couldn't decide between the two. I know Ray Ray offered a little bit on special teams last year.
I've got neither.
Returner.
The first four are probably your gimmies. Brown, Beasley, Foster, Jones.
Yes.
I've got neither of those players in Duke Williams or Ray Ray McLeod.
Got McKenzie, don't you?
I have McKenzie and Roberts.
I have McKenzie.
Andre,
well.
Okay.
Just go with Roberts.
I was thinking that too, but I really like Duke Williams.
I think he's intriguing.
Yeah, he's very intriguing.
David Sills was the other one for me.
Yeah, him too.
And very quickly, I know that David Sills could turn into the Brandon Riley sort of conversation again.
He probably will.
The unheralded, shorter receiver
he's
that
gonna
gets Bills fans calling in all day.
Yeah.
But I also watched a lot of him at West Virginia because I was watching Will Greer because I was watching quarterbacks 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if Greer was going to jump or not. And if he didn't break his hand, I think he would have. I saw a lot of David Sills. And I started to realize David Sills was really good and he might have made Will Greer into something. So,
I mean, out of the ones that I left off too, like, he was the one where I'm like... He really could.
Here's my hesitation with Duke Williams. I think he's got to straight up beat Zay Jones. Williams has not played special teams in his career, which allows McKenzie and Roberts to get an edge up. If Williams can provide special teams value, he makes it over one of these two.
Okay.
But I know McKenzie can return kicks. I know Roberts can do it and very dangerously. They didn't sign Andre Roberts for no reason.
Yeah.
They brought him in as a special teamer to be one of those big-time special teamers. And you know this staff takes that seriously.
Yeah. So running backs.
So do we keep? Do we just throw DeMarco as like running backs as a whole? Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
You would. Yeah.
Okay.
I have four.
Then combined, I have five.
Same here. Counting DeMarco.
I have four because I left DeMarco off.
Interesting. That's why you got four tight ends then.
Yes.
Because Lee Smith could probably be H-back sort of guy.
Yeah. So I have Shady, TJ Yeldon, Frank Gore, and Singletary.
And then you have the Bills moving into the modern era with no fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're not going to do that.
I was trying to have a little fun with it.
Yes. And that's an interesting take. Now here's my follow-up question. Do you have three quarterbacks?
Yes.
Hmm.
That is where I think DeMarco gets his roster spot from.
Oh, my God.
I mean, probably, but I just think it would be I just would like to see Tyree Jackson make the team.
Because I have two. I have Allen and Barkley, and I have them trying to stash Jackson on the practice squad.
Same here.
And that is where I think DeMarco gets his roster spot from. It's not because of the fact that they have these four running backs, or it's not because of the fact that they're going to make it only five receivers. No, I think it's because of the fact that they're only going to go two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I could see, and I'm sorry to say this about Tyree Jackson, I could see it more likely that the Bills add a quarterback and roster him before they have Tyree Jackson straight up make it out of camp. They do not want what they had last year with a whole bunch of inexperience again to start off the season.
Yeah, especially if Allen gets injured.
Yeah, you want someone that he's been there, he's done some things. And then you want a guy who's been through the NFL playbooks a little bit, probably to be the backup. That's what I see this coaching staff doing, and that's what I believe that will end up happening.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
I feel like I went safe on these, though. You actually, like, Pat DeMarco's a... It's a name.
Like I at least was trying to be a little creative with
yes.
it.
Yes. I think the biggest names that I lose out on here are Duke Williams, David Sills, Tyree Jackson, and Jason Kroom.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for me. I don't really have many shockers.
It's to be expected this early on.
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of our rosters, outside of a couple of Frank's ideas, were pretty much by the book, but...
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even reached August yet.
Yeah.
They just took snaps 2 hours ago.
Yes. Yeah, and whoever's starting out doesn't mean that it's going to end that way.
Right.
But it's going to be fun. And we're going to see what we do here. All I
fun
know
exercise.
Is... Yeah, all I know is it was a nice little thing to work the brain. And...
Get you thinking.
Get you thinking. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do here. I think the fact that there's versatile pieces on this team helps those kinds of players make a roster. That's why Botker and Long and Nsekhe would make it for me. That's why Eli Harold probably would make it for me. It's really all this kind of a mix for... Being able to, can you do more than one thing? Yes, that's going to help you with this team. Because they like to toy around with the bottom of the roster. Every week, it seems like they added a new player, right, Kyle?
Oh, absolutely.
So, it's one of those things where maybe that's where Pat DeMarco might be in danger, is that first wave of player cuts that you try to grab off of waivers. That's where the Bills could do that. That's where you might get a Vashawn Joseph or a Deion Lacy or a Lafayette Pitts cut.
Well, remember, they all happen. They're all going to happen at once. So
no, I'm saying like after the cuts, and then you see the players, and it's like, hey, I'm going to swap this guy for that guy.
Oh, he's available? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do it every week, almost. Yeah. That's where Lee Smith or Tommy Sweeney could get cut from the team, like mid-season.
Yeah. And they can make cuts to like, during camp as well.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying,
you might see one or two.
I just know that the Bills are very, very much that team that tries to mix it up on the bottom of the roster. And now joining us, in order to give us some more in-depth looks with the Bills, with training camp getting started, and football being back, Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate, a friend of ours from back in the day, Frank, and always happy to talk with Ryan Talbot. Ryan, it's Derek, it's Frank, it's Kyle on the Leftovers Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and welcome back to football.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I know I'm excited. I know Bills fans are very excited.
Yeah, it's that wonderful time of year. It's like Christmas, and you find out what players are coming in, the new guys. Are these additions worth anything, or are they socks?
That's the truth. And I do think, though, a lot of these new additions will be the opposite of the sock route this year.
That'd be great. And one of those big things, Ryan, they went heavy and hard on the offensive line. But I only suspect that they're going to keep 9 or 10 of these players. So somebody that might have been brought in could also get released throughout this process. Starting with the offensive line for me is probably the biggest thing. And they started out today with Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Feliciano, and Ford on the starting five.
Yeah, and, you know, I could see all five of those guys being on this opening day roster. I could see even that being the opening day starting roster on the offensive line. You know, Dawkins really wasn't challenged earlier this offseason in OTAs in terms of the left tackle role. He was pretty much in place there at left tackle. The team apparently, you know, likes what they've seen from him this offseason in terms of he realized he didn't have the best year two, and he was motivated to prove that he can hold down that role. Center, obviously, is set in stone with Mitch Morse. So those are two spots that I think you have set. And then I was happy to see Quentin Spain at left guard, I should say, today. You know, he played the majority of his career there, and earlier in the offseason you saw him a little bit at right guard. And I'm sure that the Bills value position versatility, and they wanted to see how he looked there. But I think that was encouraging to see him at left guard. I think that he, at least on paper right now, he has to earn it, of course. I think he is your best option at left guard. And then I think it's going to come down to the right guard spot between John Feliciano and Spencer Long. You know, Feliciano is interesting to me because he has experience playing under Bobby Johnson. So that could end up helping him out early. That could give him a little bit of a head start compared to some of these other guys there. Spencer Long was a bit of a disaster last year with the Jets at center, but when they moved him to guard, he played pretty well there. And then Wyatt Teller is a bit of a wild card. You know, he played mostly at left guard as a rookie, but maybe they give him some looks there to see if he can earn a starting role. And finally, at right tackle, you know, I think they want to give Cody Ford every opportunity to win that job, drafting him in the second round. But Ty Nsekhe, I'm sure, will see some work there as well with the first team throughout training camp, because when all is said and done, you want your best five guys out there in week one.
Yeah, Ryan, it's one of those things where a lot of these starters from last year are very much in danger of losing not just a starting spot, but also possibly just being straight up cut from this team. You're talking about the likes of a Russell Bodine or Vlad Dukas or Wyatt Teller, who started a couple games last year as well. And that's where the tricky thing could be with this. The most versatile of the offensive linemen, I think, really would be able to get an edge in this sort of thing, like an Nsekhe, like possibly like even Ike Botker, or like you mentioned with Quentin Spain.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Feliciano, too, fits into that mold because he can play center, he can play both guard spots. You know, so some of these guys that maybe can't be moved around are going to be in danger. You mentioned Bodine. I have him as being a guy that is a long shot to make the roster. Same thing with Vlad Dukas. You know, Dukas at times in his Bills stint, not so much last year, maybe 2 years ago, there were times where he shined on the field, where he impressed me more than what I was expecting to see out of him. But last year he really struggled. They really brought in a lot of talent that I think will be ahead of him, firmly ahead of him throughout camp. So those guys are long shots. And another new addition at tackle is going to be Adrian Waddle. You know, do they keep four tackles? That's a big question, because if Ford is a guy that you have starting at right tackle, you have Nsekhe as your third, and then you have Waddle, who I think deserves a shot to make this roster. I think he can be a very valuable swing tackle. That was a role that he played in New England recently. And again, another guy that has experience under Bobby Johnson. So I like that all the money spent in free agency on the line. I like that they were aggressive to get a guy like Cody Ford, someone that they had a first-round grade on. So that unit itself is going to be one of the most interesting camp battles going ahead, and it should really help Josh Allen in year two.
So besides the offensive line battles, what other position battles are you really looking forward to seeing?
You know, nothing that I think the average fan would say is too exciting. Another thing that I'm really looking forward to watching is the linebacker battle in terms of the depth behind that starting trio. Obviously, Lorenzo Alexander, Tremaine Edmonds, and Matt Milano, those spots are locked into place, but there's a lot of question marks behind those guys. And when you look at it, Vashawn Joseph, yes, he should make this roster. He was a draft pick in the fifth round for the Bills. A guy that really flashed at times at Florida. You have Julian Stanford, who will, I think, in my opinion, will be the backup to Tremaine Edmonds at that middle linebacker spot. A huge drop down, if anything, does happen to Edmonds, obviously. But he did step in late last year when he was needed. He can play on special teams. A guy like Deion Lacy, his role is far from safe, and he was a guy that you saw on the field special teams defense last year. Same thing with Corey Thompson, who was an undrafted free agent last year. They added some intriguing guys. Tyrell Dodson was an undrafted free agent that I really liked after the signing. He obviously got himself into a little bit of trouble this offseason, so you have to kind of wait to see if anything comes from that. His name was in the news. Juwan Foggy was a former offensive player, kind of transitioned over to the defensive side of the ball in college, and has a lot of athleticism there too. So that's something I'm interested in. Obviously, the wide receiver position, you have a lot of talent there as well now. You saw today the starting three were pretty much Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, John Brown. I wouldn't read too much into that. I'm sure there's going to be times where Robert Foster gets worked in with that group as well. You have Andre Robertson. You have a lot of guys battling for one or two spots behind that unit as well.
Yeah, the receivers really are probably one of the most interesting positions with this group, Ryan, because you have these holdovers from last year in Foster and Jones, and then Isaiah McKenzie, a guy who can provide a little bit of value in the return game and as a gadget player offensively. And his name is often going to be passed over a little bit here. What do you think his chances are?
You know, right now I have him as being firmly on the roster bubble because Ray McLeod was a guy that stood out this year in OTAs. It depends on what the Bills want. Do they want a big, long, wide receiver, someone that can be a little bit different than what you're seeing with maybe some of those starting four, starting five? If so, one spot might come down to Duke Williams and David Sills alone. Victor Bolden's a guy that has earned some praise from the media here as of late. So there's just a lot of question marks. I liked McKenzie's addition last year. I think when they did end up claiming him that second time around and getting him, it was to be on special teams, and he kind of, you know, he had some mishaps in his career in Denver with fumbles and issues there, and he'll have trouble assuming a role on special teams in terms of being a return man with Andre Roberts around. Roberts was pretty special last year as a kick returner and a punt returner for that matter, but if he can hold his own in terms of getting open as a wide receiver and being used as a gadget player, he can earn that sixth or seventh spot with the Bills, depending on how many wide receivers they carry.
And, of course, one of the bigger questions with terms of position battles and what they're going to do at the position with how many numbers they're going to go with, running back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, running back was hard for me to really break down when I was doing my series on roster locks, on the bubble, and long shots. Because the only running back that I can say 100% certainty will be on the opening day roster is Devin Singletary, barring injuries, being a third-round pick. You know, LeSean McCoy, the Bills continue to say all the right things about him. He's our number one guy. We believe in him. We looked at things last year in terms of why he struggled. Obviously, the offensive line played a big role in that. But I still think there's a small possibility he could be elsewhere in 2019. And I think that would be the trade route if there's an injury or holdouts in other camps. We are starting to see holdouts at various positions already across the league. So there could be an opportunity where the Bills get an offer that maybe they think, okay, We're not going to get that kind of value out of him any other time this year. It's too good to pass up. But that also is dependent on how the other backs look. You know, Frank Gore, he's 36 years old. Obviously, his injury that he had suffered was very minor because he's already off the NFI list and he was practicing today. You want to see what Singletary can do. You have a guy like T.J. Yeldon, who's actually the biggest of the four backs in terms of weight, I should say. So he can be valuable. He's a valuable guy out of the backfield in terms of a receiver. You have Sonoris Perry, who is a guy who made his money last year in Miami on special teams. And, of course, you have Patrick DeMarco, who's obviously a fullback, but he's someone else that you have to consider in terms of the numbers game. So that's going to be interesting because you want to have your best 53, the guys on this roster, but you might have to sacrifice at other positions where you feel you might be weak or there might be a guy that comes available during final cuts elsewhere, and you have to address it that way. So running back is definitely interesting because there's a lot of uncertainty there other than Devin Singletary.
Yeah, actually, Ryan, I actually had that piece in front of me as you were mentioning running back. I was intrigued by having Singletary as one of your only running backs of your 33 roster locks going into the start of the season. I was also curious a little bit as the tight end room with Croft obviously going to start the season on IR. You have Knox and Lee Smith as well as locks. I was curious as well as to your thoughts behind not having Jason Kroom on that list. I understand last year he probably had more reps than he should have because of just the necessity with not a lot of depth of position, but I was wondering your thoughts on not having Kroom as a necessary lock going into camp.
Yeah, you know, when I looked at the tight end room, I said, okay, Dawson Knox, roster lock, third-round pick, he's not going anywhere. Tyler Croft, you know, he might not be ready at the start of the season. We'll see. Kind of, you know, a vague answer today on his status. Just he's progressing. He's where he should be. Croft's injury could open the door for Kroom. Lee Smith, you're paying him to be your blocking tight end. He is regarded as one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. So those were three guys where I said, okay, if they're all healthy, because, again, that's what it comes down to with Croft, they're locks to be on this 53-man roster. I just can't say the same about a guy like Jason Kroom. Earlier this offseason, he would have had an opportunity to get some more reps, but he was dealing with his own injury, which opened up the door for Knox to see some work there. Now, Kroom did open up today's practice as their number one tight end, but you saw that at other positions, too, where you said, okay, it's today, but that it's not going to be all camp. For example, Jordan Phillips as the first-team defensive tackle over a guy like Ed Oliver. I think the Bills wanted to get some of their vets out there first, make these younger guys earn their spots. But Kroom's going to have to earn his spot in 2019. He has the athleticism. He has flashed at times. He made some pretty good plays at times last year for the Bills. But now you have some legitimate competition there. You have some role players, like, again, Smith as a blocking role. And you also have Tommy Sweeney. This is a guy that, yeah, the Bills drafted him late. Ideally, maybe they can sneak him onto their practice squad. But there are some in the draft community that have said, listen, this guy is going to make the 53-man roster, Todd McShay being one, really open about praise for Buffalo, saying that Sweeney was the best pick from round 5 to round 7 in the NFL draft in terms of value. So he's another guy that is going to be pushing Kroom. So Kroom doesn't even have an open path necessarily to be the number 4 tight end this year. So that's why, at the end of the day, I couldn't put him on that roster lock, in that roster lock article.
Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate, joining us here with the Leftovers podcast. And Ryan, the last thing that I really am intrigued by is the corners. I think that there's a lot of shuffling that can happen, not just with who starts opposite Tre'Davious White, but who makes this roster altogether.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, obviously, Trey White, since day one, has been the number one cornerback on this team. I was happy to see today that Levi Wallace was out there with the first-team defense at that spot. Here's a guy that didn't make the 53-man roster initially, spent a good portion of the year on the practice squad, and as soon as he's promoted, not only is he promoted the 53-man roster, he's told, you're starting. So, you know, no in-between time there. And he held his own all of this last season when he was promoted. Now, you know, there was a recent article by ESPN Plus and Football Outsiders that pointed out he didn't go against the best wide receivers on an opposing team, and that's fine. The guys that were put in front of him, he locked down. He did a nice job against for the most part. So it's nice to see them letting him get that first opportunity, but he has some legitimate competition for that starting job between Kevin Johnson, a guy that was a former first-round pick, E.J. Gaines, someone who in 2017, when healthy, really improved Buffalo secondary and helped Tre'Davious White, in my opinion, in terms of his game as well. So that's another intriguing option. Taron Johnson in the slot. He had the shoulder surgery in early December. He'll be coming back. He was outstanding as a rookie. So those guys, I all feel, have a good shot of making the roster. Obviously, White and Wallace being locks, Johnson and Gaines most likely being there too, as long as they can stay healthy, because health has been a major concern for these guys throughout their careers. Johnson a lock as well. Then you also have to account for Saran Neal, and yes, Neal is listed as a safety on Buffalo's roster, but he's been playing more of a defensive back role, at least early in the offseason, and I think that's going to be his role going forward. So he could end up taking, you know, a spot away from a cornerback or out of that position or secondary altogether based on his versatility alone. So there are going to be some guys like a Lafayette Pitts, who's been on this roster for a few seasons now, I believe since 2017. He's not a roster alone. Ryan Lewis, someone they claimed last year, ended up getting some starting time, but then was kind of pushed into the background, more of a special teams player, far from a lock. Denzel Rice faces long odds. Same thing with Cam Lewis. A guy like Cam Lewis from UB, you know, the best thing he can do is perform well daily, and he might just, the best case scenario for him might just be being on the practice squad at the start of the year, because they added so much talent, so much competition in at that position as well.
Ryan, it's about to get going, and it's going to make for interesting watches, these camp battles in the bottom of the 53-man roster here. So thanks for taking the time with us, and any final thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting down there. Matt Parrino is there daily. He's living the dorm life at training camp. I'm going to head down this weekend, get a firsthand look and see how these competitions shake out. One player I'm going to be watching is going to be Tyree Jackson, because, again, just like a lot of these other positions, they don't necessarily need a third quarterback on this roster. But if he can flash enough, and if he can show them that he's a guy that can eventually be an NFL player, the Bills might be hard-pressed to try to sneak them onto their practice squad, because there will be other teams watching him as well that passed on him in the draft and might say, okay, there's something there as a quarterback number three this year. There's too much arm talent. There's too much potential. So he's a guy that I'm going to watch on Sunday. He's a guy, though, that needs to show consistency throughout camp.
Ryan, tell the good people where to find your work.
Yeah, you can find my work on NewYorkUpstate.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills.
Ryan, thanks for taking the time as always, man. And we're up and running. It's liftoff. Football's back. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys.
That was Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate joining us here on the Leftovers Podcast. And Ryan had a lot to say. Everyone's got a lot to say. Why? Because there's a lot of storylines for this Bills training camp, even though there's no quarterback battle this year.
The only thing we didn't get to, which was the most pressing topic of today, was what the Bills gave out to season ticket holders, friends and family of the team,
and
corporate sponsors. The lunch pails, very on-brand.
They are on
lunch
brand.
Pails.
On-brand.
I hate it.
For those of you who didn't see, we were going to, if we had a little bit more time, we were going to ask for Ryan's opinion if you didn't see it on Twitter. Those things bring the heat.
Yeah, if you leave them out in the sun, they're going to burn your hand.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, I think it's funny. It's also like, for me, that's kind of annoying. Why can't we accept being just good or talented or skilled? Why do we have to be blue collar? We don't need to. We don't have to always accept it, right?
then you know what? I'll take your lunch pail.
That's fine.
If you don't want it, I'll take it.
I'll just take the food that I would keep in it, and I'll eat it.
Well, it's not going to be as cold as it could have been in a lunch pail that you could put some ice packets in.
I guess so. It's fine.
Who really wins here? Cold.
I mean, you get two lunch pails in this example.
Exactly.
Double lunch pail to work.
Double fist.
Do it. I chuckled, and I'm like, oh, damn it. Why do we got to accept this? Why do we always have to be the blue collar team, blue collar town, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Rever and the players like Pat Coletta. Damn it. Like, that's all that did for me was, like, slightly trigger that a little bit, and then I'm like, all right, you're getting ridiculous. Shut up. So, like I said, it's funny. I do like it as the novelty. Also, just a nice collector's item, honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That would just be the simplest thing about it. You know, I got this lunch pail. I don't ever use it, but it's here. It's sitting in my house. It's pretty cool. Hey, kids, you want to take this lunch pail to work? How many kids are going to end up with Buffalo Bills lunch pails in, like, the next couple of years?
How many kids you got that are going to work?
No, you bring it for lunch for your kid. It doesn't have to go to work. School lunches, son.
Hey, but you said, hey, kid, you want to bring this to work?
Oh, I did, didn't
yeah,
I?
You did.
Shut up.
This is why we're here.
You know, sometimes I say things that are pretty dumb. But I've got nothing on
the dummy of the week.
Dante, I'm trying to fight these demons, but I'm dummy thick and the clap of my ass keeps alerting them.
That's right, boys. It's back. The dummy of the week is back, and I'm so happy. But I'm also regrettably informing you that it's an old target. Mike Florio, you, sir, are a jackass, and I don't like you. I've stopped following Pro Football Talk, even though they generally give us football news that we can report on as anchors, Kyle. I can't take it anymore. From the hate-spewing rant from the stadium thing from a couple of weeks back, now to something as subtle and stupid as this. And this is the part that just, it really annoys me, and it makes you sound stupid for even saying it. Keeping with delusion season, Bills safety Kurt Coleman thinks his new team could get to the Super Bowl. What do you think he's going to say, dummy? I would criticize him if he said that the Bills couldn't make the Super Bowl. But no, hey, guy says something about the team's ultimate goal in team sports. Oh, you're delusional. No, you're stupid. You're cherry picking because you don't like that Buffalo doesn't have a new stadium for some stupid reason. You're stupid. Dummy. Therefore, Mike Florio, the dummy of the week!
This is the biggest week for one-liners like that.
I know.
Somebody from Miami may have even been the head coach, said we're going to try and win every game. Like, thank you.
Good for you. You know?
You don't make a story out of that. You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to write anything about it. He wrote a freaking article on it.
We're going
to
try and lose all 16 games.
We're going to tank.
We're going to go 8-8 this year.
We're going to go right for 7-9. That's the goal, bitches.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Nice job, Florio. But thank you for giving me a very easy target for Dummy of the Week. Which is also, again, you, Florio, who's not listening.
Other nominee may have been David Clarkson. Or the Maple Leafs.
Oh.
Or something.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Why? What did I miss?
Well, Clarkson? Isn't this contract backed in Toronto?
His contract got traded to Toronto.
So he did miss something.
Yes, I did.
Well, if you're going to go with that, wait. Dummy would be then Kyle Dubas, because he made the trade.
They're cash strapped. What the hell?
I read about it. It's honestly like it not might, as bad as what it looks like.
We may have read the same article. If not, I read somewhere as well that it's also for Marner because they have to keep in line with salary, because if they are able to get something done in season, much like Nylander,
you know, the cap's going to be
the contract that Marner signs will be prorated.
Yeah, so it'll go up kind of like the Nylander thing from last year. But
still.
The biggest thing with that is with Horton and Clarkson going on LTIR at the start of the season, that's like $10.5 million that the Leafs will
be allowed to overspend.
Yeah, so because of this, they can now overspend more.
So maybe not a complete dummy.
So, like, the Leafs can now spend...
We're talking me out of this.
Like, up to...
Yeah, actually, it makes more sense now.
The Leafs can now spend, like, up to $92 million.
But now, if you talk to Leafs fans and say, hey, remember that David Clarkson, Nathan Horton trade?
Remember you signed David Clarkson to that contract?
Yeah. It's good that they're seeing the end of it.
Yeah.
Good for them on that part. But Clarkson ended up with three different teams on that same contract. And four transactions? Signing. Traded, expansion draft, traded.
Yeah.
Just the way you drew it up.
And by expansion draft, I mean traded. Dude got traded three times without playing games. That's impressive.
It is. Like.
So yeah, maybe he's not the dummy of the week here.
I'm sorry.
No, he's not the dummy of the week. I don't even think he's a nomination anymore. Because it actually makes more sense. Somehow.
This ship sunk very fast.
Yeah. Cannons. Frank brought cannons.
He did.
Bitches love cannons.
It was just a knee jerk. I was like, David Clarkson, that was funny. And then tell him to find out.
I mean, I did laugh right away. I did think it was funny.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean.
But apparently, it doesn't make it dumb. Mike Florio, dumb. Mm-hmm.
How delusional do you have to be that you think that your team can win the Super Bowl just because you play for the Bills? Man. Every time somebody says Kyle Dubas now, since the Henry Yokiharju trade, I... TJ Luckman's tweet.
No, yes.
Network producer.
Yes.
Hey, Stan, this is Kyle Dubas. Want to trade Yokiharju for Nylander?
You got me.
Yes. Oh, man.
Make it happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
That has forever changed how I read and hear the name Kyle Dubas. So, thank you, TJ.
Can you do that good terrible impression again?
Hey, Stan, it's Kyle Dubas. You feel like trading Yokiharju for Nylander?
If you had your glasses, I swear to God, I would probably piss myself.
Yeah.
No, those are not Kyle Dubas glasses.
No, they're not, but they are glasses.
Kyle has Kyle Dubas glasses.
Okay, well, where are they?
I just took them off before I came in here. I had glasses on all morning. I didn't think I'd be waking up and doing this.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's not the same.
Tiny boys.
It's not the same, yeah. Oh my God. Because Kyle has Kyle Dubas glasses.
I know he does.
That would have been the best.
Speaking of on-brand.
Don't have them.
Nice job, Kyles.
Yeah.
Put me on the dummy of the week.
No.
Put me on the dummy of the week.
No. That's for Florio this week.
All right.
Go ahead and save something stupid for next week. We can put you there.
Fine.
But there's a lot of sports and a lot of football and a lot of talking heads that are going to say a lot of stupid things. So if you want to do something stupid, you might have to ramp it up.
The bar is officially higher.
Bar is
higher. The bar has been raised.
So there it is. Thank you for listening to Leftovers Podcast. As always, here on WGR550.com, on the radio.com app, and wherever you hear the podcast. Thank you to Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate joining us to give us some lowdown and his thoughts on Bills training camp, position battles, and his locks. So go check that article out on New York Upstate. For his roster locks or who he thinks is the safest going into training camp 2019. I'm Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
Don't do it.
And Kyle Powell.
Should have done it.
I thought about it.
Do it.
And Kyle Dubas.
There you go. Anybody can do it.
All it takes, Frank, is just to be a little bit of a stupid head pinch your nose. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just look at that. This is how we're going to end the podcast. What the hell's wrong with us?
Well, football's back.
And you know we're ready.